Hartlik goeiemôre en baie welkom by RSG Landbou. My naam is Eloise Pretorius en dis vir my 'n voorreg om nou by jou aan te sluit, so op 1 Mei 2026. Ons eerste gas is internasionaal bekend vir haar navorsing omtrent klimaatsverandering. Professor Stephanie Midgley is spesialist wetenskaplike in klimaatsverandering by die Departement van Landbou in die Wes-Kaap. Sy was onlangs by 'n konferensie oor besproeiing wat in Australië gehou is.
Ja, ek het nou net teruggekom van 'n konferensie. Dit was 'n wetenskaplike konferensie in Australië. Dit is die groep wat werk op besproeiing en waterverhoudings van hortologiese gewasse. So al jou vrugtegewasse, jou wyn en so aan. It was a very interesting conference because all the best people in the world working on irrigation science came together once again. Group of about 150 people that meet every 3 or 4 years. The last one was hosted by us in Stellenbosch three years ago. So this was the following one, and we learned so much about how Australia is, you know, their difficulties with water management. They're also highly dependent on some river systems, which are under huge strain. And with big irrigation schemes in that area that I went to in Victoria, especially, a massive area of irrigation agriculture, how their governance of the water has changed, how the farmers are much more aware now of using the best technologies to use water more efficiently. So the conference brought together people from many, many countries. I think it was more than 25 or 30 countries across the world, all with agriculture under irrigation, and the science that is being done for everybody to try and use water more efficiently. That is one of the main topics. And everybody's talking about climate change and how their resources are becoming less, how the heat that is increasing means that plants need more water, need more irrigation, but the resource is becoming less. So we need to find ways scientifically using technology, sensors. It was super, super interesting to see all the different technologies that are being developed. AI is starting to come in. Some of the best presentations by young scientists. One of the scientists also won the best scientists or the young scientist award, in fact, for bringing in AI to optimize water use in irrigated horticulture. So it is a whole new area opening up for young scientists who are interested in AI and farmers as well. Farmers are also starting to use AI to optimize their water use, to make sure that we absolutely get the best possible production and quality from less water.
Die wynindustrie in Australië het ook baie ernstige uitdagings wat in die gesig gestaar word.
Hulle het, dit is 'n uitdaging wat eintlik in al die wyngebiede oor die hele wêreld tans 'n probleem is, en dit is dat daar 'n oorvoorsiening is van wyn. Die wynmark is besig om te krimp. So Australia, I think, you know, in South Africa, some of our hectares have already been reduced. We're not producing as much as we used to, and that has helped in terms of balancing supply and demand and the prices that can be fetched on the international market. But Australia is really struggling because they also export a lot of their wine, and the wine trade globally has become really, really challenging for many reasons. And one of them is that it's oversupply of cheaper wine, of bulk wine, and everybody's trying to reduce the supply, increase the quality, make sure that we get high prices for every liter. And that's a challenge. And Australia is battling with that just as we did, just as France is and many other places across the world. There were some very interesting events that we attended that were focused on technology, and specifically technology in agriculture. And the FAO played a big role there in hosting some of those events. And also technology in disaster risk reduction, which was very interesting for my colleague Asia, who is responsible for disaster management in agriculture in the Western Cape province. So we were blown away by some of the innovations and developments that are coming out across the world that are building resilience to climate change using the latest technologies. Technology is seen as a facilitator of adaptation and, of course, also of mitigation, which is reducing our emissions of greenhouse gases. But I think for us here in the Western Cape, we were mainly interested in the adaptation side and disaster risk reduction. So innovations that are being developed where one thing that caught Asia's attention, for example, was a very low-cost way of making sandbags for flood protection, for houses on farms, for, you know, farm areas themselves,
where rivers are flooding, or there's a warning that rivers are going to flood, people are given or can make their own low-cost bags to put along the river and to prevent that from flooding their fields and their houses. So that was just one example. There's a lot of focus on affordable, achievable, low-cost, local technologies that communities can implement by themselves or farmers that aren't going to cost the earth. Yeah, I think we're going to follow up on some of those. I know that ASEA is interested in connecting with some of the speakers at some of these events to try and follow up to see whether we can't maybe test the local practicality, the local applicability and effectiveness of these kinds of technologies. And there are international groups that are coordinating this kind of work. We can link into, you know, working with them, keeping engaged with them to find out also some of our own technologies. You know, how can we share our own technologies with the rest of the world?
Klimaatsverandering in ag genome, wat is jou boodskap aan boere nie net in die Weskaap nie, maar reg oor Suid-Afrika, professor?
Ek sou sê dis belangrik om te weet dat ons is nie alleen nie. Dit is 'n globale uitdaging. Daar is baie mense wat ons nie van hoor in die nuus in die media nie, wat ongelooflike werk doen vir landbou, vir boere, wat ons van kan leer, wat en ons hulle kan by ons leer. En saam, as ons saam staan en saam gesels en by sulke konferensies soos hierdie in, maar ook ander plekke waar ons ontmoet, kan ons mekaar help. En ek dink mense moet nie mismoedig wees hier oor klimaatsverandering nie. We need to be positive that we do have tools, we do have solutions. There are many, many new solutions, effective solutions coming out from all over the world that and being developed by our own farmers that that can be tested and scaled up across to other farmers. We can share with farmers who are maybe not as well resourced, new farmers who are struggling in a climate that is really unforgiving nowadays and struggling to build up farms and to help them to deal with heat and droughts and floods and all these things that are happening. I think there are solutions for every farmer, but it's just a matter of getting that information to every farmer for their particular local individual context on their farm. You know, what is their climate? What is their challenge? What are their risks? What are they trying to achieve? How do they want to develop the farm? And how can one help in terms of climate change?
Wat kan ek as individu, ek en my huismense, my kinders, in die kleine doen? Moet ons nog spekbome aankoop en plant?
Daar's baie dinge wat 'n mens kan doen, maar ek sou sê vir ons in die Weskaap is die belangrikste know where your water comes from, know where your food comes from. As ons verstaan wat verg dit om daardie water en daardie kraan te kry in jou huis, in jou badkamer, en wat is die risiko's dat eendag gaan dan nie meer water deur jou kraan vloei nie? En hoe kan ons almal help, soos ons dit gedoen het baie terug hier in die Weskaap, hoe kan ons almal help om daardie hulpbron wat ons het in ons damme, om daarna te kyk dat dit nie gemors word nie, dat dit nie by ons huise vermors word nie, dat ons kinders leer, waar kom jou water vandaan, waar kom jou kos vandaan. Ek dink omtrent elke dag ek het die grootste respek vir ons boere in die Weskaap en in Suid-Afrika, wat 'n ongelooflike moeilike werk doen, 'n baie komplekse werk, wat nou al hoe moeiliker raak. En ons het kos op ons tafels, die meeste van ons. Ek besef daar is mense wat nie inkomste het nie, wat nie genoeg kos kan koop nie, maar daar is genoeg kosvoorsiening, daar is genoeg kosproduksie, ten spyte van die feit dat ons 'n land is met baie min water, met baie hitte, met vloede en droogtes en so aan. This is recognized by the world. People look to South African farmers with the greatest respect and are trying to learn from how did we get through day zero? How do we survive after fires and so on? I think the average citizen, sometimes, especially people who aren't in the sector, who don't live on a farm or know people who farm or who are in rural areas where maybe there's more connection with farming, people in cities, take a step back and maybe find out where your food comes from, how it's produced. How much water does it take to produce that food that you're enjoying? Is there going to be enough water in the future to be able to produce that kind of food? How is that food production also contributing to climate change? And how are farmers trying to reduce that? So it's very, very complicated. It's difficult enough farming, but now farmers have to deal with climate change and all the demands that are being made, also by the international markets, to say that, you know, we will only buy your fruit or your meat if you become more climate friendly. Who's going to pay for that? Our farmers are currently paying for it themselves, but there comes a time when, yes, the world, the people who are doing the damage, also need to support. And us, the farmers aren't getting enough support and ways of accessing cheaper finance to be able to do what they need to be doing to make sure that in future we have enough water and food. Ek was nou in die laaste 3 maande 2 keer oor see. Die een was nou die COP30 by in Brasilia, die ander een was nou Australië, baie gerig op sproeiing en landbou en so aan die navorsing. Albei was ongelooflike ondervindings vir my en ek is net verskrik dankbaar dat ons nog altyd dit kan doen, dat ons met ons ewe knieë oor die hele wêreld kan ontmoet, kan sien wat is hulle kwessies, wat doen hulle, wat is die oplossings, wat kan ons hier miskien toets. En dit is inspirerend, dit is ongelooflik inspirerend om dit te doen. En ek is nie baie dankbaar dat ons sulke geleenthede kry ook. Ek weet ek het seker baie kollegas wat baie graag ook so iets wil bywoon en hopelik kan ons in die toekoms meer kollegas saamvat na sulke geleenthede toe, dat ons, en ons doen ook ons deel om sulke geleenthede nou hier in die Weskaap aan te bied. Ons het verlede jaar het ons die MCAP hier aangebied, ons het vir ons kollegas gewys wat doen ons hier en they were blown away. Dit was baie goed om te sien dat ons op die regte pad is in baie opsigte, maar dat ons ook dinge ook beter kan doen. Ook wetenskaplike kongresse hier aanbied, dat ons van die beste wetenskaplikes hier kan kry om te kyk, te gesels, te sien en saam navorsing te doen. Dat ons vir boere beter metodes, beter tegnologie kan aanbied, but they are tried and tested for local conditions. Our farmers are always telling us that it doesn't work just to look at something that somebody else is doing in Australia or in California and think you can just helicopter that in and do it here on our farms. You have to have research programs, long-term research programs that are funded, as some of our programs in the Western Cape Department of Agriculture, that are funded over 25 to 30 years, that teach us how to optimize our farming methods, our farming systems, practices, our genetics, the way we use water, the way we, especially in conservation agriculture, we're leaders in that field now. And to continue with that research and to make sure that there's going to be continued support for research in future, which has developed new farming systems that farmers are now adopting and benefiting from in terms of climate change. So it's so important that we continue to support livestock breeding programs and crop breeding programs and conservation agriculture, for example, and water efficient irrigation methods. I think those are some of the key things that are also very well pointed out in our Smart Agri Plan, our climate change response strategy for the Western Cape for agriculture, which we're still developing, but it's all in there. And it's happening, but it needs to happen quickly because we are now going into a new phase where we're seeing the heat across the world, the floods, the droughts, the fires just ramping up. And we need to be able to make sure that our farming sector is still able to produce and to grow, to keep those jobs in that sector and to grow those jobs is what we want to do, and to make sure that everybody has food on their table.
Was Greta Thunberg by COP?
No, she wasn't there. She seems to have focused on new challenges now. I don't know whether she's still focusing on climate change, but she isn't going to COP anymore. She has other focus areas that she's looking at now.
Waar kry jy Smart Agri Plan in die hande, professor?
The Smart Agri Plan is on our website. We can help people to find it there, or I can send it to them if they phone me or if they email me. I'm very happy to send it to people. Or any other information that people may have, they're very welcome to contact me.
Waar kry jy jou per e-pos in die hande?
My e-pos is stephanie.midgley@westerncape.gov.za.
Professor Stephanie Midgley is spesialist wetenskaplike in klimaatsverandering by die Departement van Landbou in die Weskaap. In tandem hiermee gesels ons nou oor navorsingsprojekte wat tans gedoen word deur dieselfde departement, ook veral die wat verband hou met biostimulante. Professor Johan Strauss is synoniem met bewaringslandbou in Suid-Afrika. Hy werk op uiteenlopende stelselproewe waar verskillende gewasrotasies getoets word.
As ek dan my opbrengs verhoog en my kwaliteit verbeter, is die koolishuis werd in termen van die geld wat ek spandeer vir die biosimulant vir dit wat ek terugkry. Daar is Willem Hofman ook van die universiteit Stellenbosch betrokke. So, soos jy kan sien, is rarige. Ek sien baie uit na die project en ek dink dit gaan waarde toevoeg tot die bedrijf. Ja, en as een klomp klein nieuwe goedjies wat ons ook na kyk, ons moet in Denver gaan kyk na slakke, dat is die eerste ook maar weer een kopseer vir die canola ons, en ons daar is een student van die universiteit, wat dan saam met ons ook gaan werk en proeven op tuiger ook onder andere gaan doen, wat ons gaan kyk na verskillende goedjes, hoe ons dit kan aanspreek en beter antwoorde vir ons producent te gee om daar kopseer te probeer uitskakel. So, dit is een legio goed wat ons bezig is, en dit is alles maar praktiese navorsing wat praktiese uitsette gaan wees. En so jy ons moet kyk en luister as al boere daar is, ons gaan praat oor die goed bereidige geleenthede. En daar is ons nog steeds op Rivers daar bezig ook met werk wat ons kyk na vol biologiese stelsel versus een combinatie van biologie en chemie versus dan sê maar die normale chemiese program wat ons al volg elke jaar. Kom een paar interessante resultate daar uit. Ja, en ek bly nog steeds opgewonde oor bewaringslandbou. Ek dink dat dit is 'n goeie opsie vir ons. En ek dink dit het homself bewys oor tyd hier in die Weskaap. Die meeste boere doen dit. Maar wat ons nog kan verbeter op, is verseker. Dit is mis nou nie 'n silver bullet nie. En dis ook om ons jonge appies ook in kry die jong studente wat na nuwe idees moet dink hoe ons ander goedes kan inbring binnen die stelsel en nog steeds beter kan doen as wat ons nou doen en om ons producenten te help. Sodra die boerderij vou, dan gaan ons in krisis en raak het kos en al die dinge. So ja, ek dink, ons is opgegram hierdie jaar en ons hoop om dit rarig net vir een goeie seizoen op vooral maat allemaal op het knieën gaan en vooral dat die seizoen mooi sal lyk in die Weskaap. As het nou 2 seizoenen gehad, dat nie so mooi was nie. Dit sal al klaar op baie help. Dus ons is maar altyd open vir gesprekke en idees en vir navorsing en hoe ons boere kan bystaan. Nie net commerciële boere nie, ons is baie betrokken met ons nou met opkomende boere ook. En so ja, help enig iemand wat help wil wees.
Wat word by raaigras ingesluit?
Dit is, ek weet hulle gebruik raaigras in weidings. Dit is 'n baie goeie weiding en 'n baie goeie cover crop, 'n dekgewas. Maar jy wil ook nie eintlik in die koring nie, want jy kompeteer met die koring. So dis eintlik 'n onkruid vir ons in die koring. Maar in 'n weidingstelsel is dit nou weer 'n gewas en nie 'n onkruid. Want 'n onkruid se definisie is maar net, is 'n gewas wat groei waar jy nie wil hê nie.
Dit dan professor Johan Strauss van die Weskaapse Departement van Landbou. Internationale Sonjo Blankdag word vandag gevier. Ilunda Basson is voorsitter van Sonjo Blank SA en keldermeester by die Steenberg Wynlandgoed. Sy verduidelik waarom vandag 'n belangrike een is op die kalender van beide produsent en verbruiker. Suid-Afrika se Sonjo Blank het nie minder as 72 verskillende geure.
Ons het nie net 'n internasionale aroma wiel vir Sonjo Blank nie, ons het sommer 'n Suid-Afrikaanse ene. Self ontwerp en al die navorsing is hier in Suid-Afrika gedoen en ek dink dit is wat besonders is van Sauvignon Blanc in Suid-Afrika en ek dink ons moet dit is die boodskap wat ons moet verkondig aan al ons verbruikers in Suid-Afrika maar ook internasionaal. Ons is nie besig om te probeer om enigiemand anders te wees nie en ons is nie net een ding nie. Dit is juist die diversiteit van die verskillende aroma geure en profiele en smaakprofiele wat ons wil celebrate uit Suid-Afrika.
Definieer aroma wiel.
Aroma wiel is maar net 'n eenvoudige skematiese voorstelling van wat jy kan verwag in verskillende style van Sauvignon Blanc. Ons het sommer enetjie van ons eie nog kleiner gemaak wat ons gebruik in ons proelokaal by Steenberg wat die groener aromas van Steenberg se Sauvignon Blanc weerspieël en dit maak dit net visueel miskien makliker vir 'n verbruiker wat nou nie gewoond is om elke dag hierdie geure te proe en te visualiseer en hier agter uit jou brein uit te haal nie om te gaan kyk na die voorstelling wat ons het met die beskrywende naamwoorde van kojavel en tropies en 'n bietjie piesang hier of groen gras, aspersie, ertjies ensovoorts. Al die beskrywende naamwoorde wat ons in die aroma wiel inbou en dis lekker pret om dit by jou te hê terwyl jy besig is om 'n wynproekie te doen. Dit help jou net bietjie daai geure visualiseer.
Waar kan ek een sien of aflaai of teekom?
Ek sou sê die maklikste plek sal seker wees om na Sauvignon Blanc Suid-Afrika se webtuiste te gaan en dit daar af te laai, maar dit word ook alreeds oral gebruik in ons, soos ek sê, in ons proelokale, so meeste van die lede van die assosiasie het ook al hierdie aroma wiele beskikbaar en ons gebruik dit in ons proelokale. En dan is daar ook al baie van ons opleidingsinstansies in Suid-Afrika wat praat oor wyn wat die aroma wiel beskikbaar het.
Ilunda Basson is voorsitter van Sauvignon Blanc SA en keldermeester by die Steenberg Wynlandgoed. Baie dankie dat jy vanoggend saamgekuier het. Laai gerus al ons programme af om dit moontlik met iemand te deel na 'n besoek aan die webtuiste van RSG. Ek is Eloise Pretorius en ek sien daarna uit om môreoggend om 11:15 weer saam met jou te kuier. Intussen wens ek jou 'n wonderlike Vrydag. Totsiens.